Welcome everyone to the Spokecast, the return of the dawn.
Hello, all of you. I missed you all last week.
Missed you too, missed you brother. Too,
bro. Yes, missed you as well. This time last week, I was on an airplane heading home from Orlando from Walt Disney World and cheer competition.
Ooh, how did that go?
Yippee-ki-yay. What's up, great, Tommy? So we're here with Tommy Grayson. How's it going, brother?
I'm doing great, man. How are you guys doing tonight?
Hanging in. JP, what's up, brother?
What's going on, guys? Doing good. Glad to be back here.
Donnie B gets the whole episode named after him because he's back. We tried it without you last week, Donnie. It was okay, but there was missing a little special sauce. Was a missing.
Hey, a little sauce.
The sauce was good.
Yeah, it was good. You guys did good. I was proud of you. I was proud of my underlings. my partner in crime. I was proud of John.
Thank you, brother. The help. So tell us, we got to hear what was so important, Don, that you had to miss last week.
I know, the nerve in me. Well, my daughter's traveling team, they had the world competitions for cheer down in Orlando. They do it every 2 years. It's at the ESPN Zone. So we went down there for 5 days. It was a combination of Disney and cheerleading. They didn't do as great as they thought they wanted. They should have done better. It was the judge's brother. But they came in fifth out of ninth, but we were still super proud of them. And we had an awesome time at all the parks. All the parents had a great time. We had some special event passes to go to Animal Kingdom at night, which was awesome. We were actually the first ones in line to ride Avatar Flight of Passage that night at the special party. It was cool shit. Been on that ride a bunch. But it was just great, man. And this is the stuff, like I tell everybody, when you get the stuff, chance to do this stuff in life with your, when you guys have your own kids one day or anybody else, just take those moments, man. It's just so much fun. And that's the stuff my girls will remember when they have families of their own one day. So that's what I was doing, my friends. And that's awesome. I missed you guys.
Super jealous, man.
Hey, man, you guys were getting some 51, bro. It took a long time to get to this point.
Did you guys stay at the Disney Resort at Animal Kingdom, or did you stay?
We did not. That's one of the ones I haven't. We had to stay. It was called Pay to Play. You have to stay at the resort with all the team. They make a package together. You take a special bus over to the ESPN Zone. I had my Wayne's World credentials walking around, putting it in the face of those that didn't. It was like the haves and the have-nots. That's a total shoot. We stayed at All-Star Sports. Pretty cool. My preferred resort is Return of the Dawn. My preferred resort is actually either the Beach Club or the Boardwalk, but we stay at Shades of Green quite a bit. It's the military resort. My wife has the military discount, so we stay at Shades of Green, and it's awesome. I love it. It's my new favorite resort, but loves me some Disney.
I got a quick Disney story, Donnie. You're going to like it. In 94, I went to Disney, and while online for the 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, royal family from England's, the two youngest ones were behind me in line with the nanny and the butler.
Really?
Yes. They were all there and I knew they were there, and I got to listen to them and how they talked to the butler. Talk about the help and the underlings, brother.
Really? It was there a house around them, or was just them?
A house. Wait,
they were online?
They were in
like,
line.
Did they have like, they just like they common were, folk online?
I think that's what they wanted, because I think it was Diana and her husband were there with the kids or something. Is what it was.
Really?
We knew it. We were driving down.
I'm surprised they didn't have like a like automatic gimmick pass to get to the front of the line. There's so much now at Disney, like systems of passes and all this shit, dude. You literally need a degree or to be a carny shyster ex promoter to figure it out. But it's quite complicated.
So wait, they could have been decoys, Donnie.
That's what I'm saying. I find it hard to believe that Princess Diana and perhaps Dodi Fayed were in line of 20,000 leagues.
She wasn't. It was just the kids. She had the butler and the nanny take the kids so that she could do her whatever she had to do. Anyway.
I guess, yeah. Cool story, bro.
What was the Airbender like?
The what? The Guardians of the Galaxy ride?
No.
What
the Airbender? Avatar.
Oh, that's different. And this is Avatar from the movie.
Oh.
Foolish man.
Not Airbender. Avatar. The blue people.
Yeah, this is the Navi. Avatar, James Cameron, only the biggest movie of all time ever.
It took like 10 years for that movie to be made.
How old are you, Johnny? Like, I'm 51. Like... You're older than me.
I heard
it. dude, it's awesome. It's just cool as hell. The new Tron ride that opened in Disney, I'm telling you, man, that is insane. Tron, you actually feel like you're flying. It's crazy. But I do have one quick story, though. This is a total Johnny. I'll send you the video. We met Mickey right when you walk into Walt Disney World on the right. He's in Town Square. They got a little Mickey gimmick. You go meet him. So we, the girls, our friend of ours, kid, we brought them all in there. So of course I had to put myself over at the finish and say hello to Mickey. And I said, Mickey, I acknowledge you as my tribal chief. I swear to God, I think they thought I insulted him. The handler looks at me and goes, what is that? What did you just say? And I got real like afraid for a second. I'm like, I just told Mickey he was my tribal chief. And she's like, what does that mean? I'm like, that means he's the head honcho. He's number one. He's in charge of everything. And she's like, oh yeah, you're right. He is. Like for a split second, I thought I had heat with the Disney folk for acknowledging tribal chief, Mickey Mouse.
Oh my true goodness.
Story. I had the video. I'll send it to you.
House of Mouse.
But I'm glad to be back.
The double double E. Oh
my goodness. And I'm one of the select few that have done the what's called Keys of the Kingdom tour. That's where they take you underground in the secret gimmick tunnels at Disney World.
Ooh.
Yeah, I wouldn't really recommend. Maybe it when like you're adults now, but I did it like 6-7 years ago with my father-in-law. It's like a 3-hour tour. They take you in the back of all the Disney stuff behind the scenes, underground in the tunnels. It's like a hospital down there. And they got all these gimmick tunnels, and you see the machines that crank out the smell of cookies and popcorn, fake, and all throughout the park. You see the gimmick holes in the wall that they suck the trash through, like the secret to get rid of all the garbage all throughout the park. You see the gurneys and the special access elevators to like if somebody dies or is injured, they can just whisk them away without you seeing them. That was crazy, dude. It really was crazy. They had like secret, you weren't allowed to have your cell phone out. If they saw your cell phone, you were instantly banned from the park.
Wow. Yeah.
It's crazy, dude. But now, it was cool.
When the zombie apocalypse happens, that's where I want to live. Right there.
It's like park. A little city. And they had... This is before they finished Tron or anything else, like 6-7 years ago. They had a gimmick board, and you got to go into this room, and on the board was like all the stuff that's coming up, like in the next 8 to 10 years at Disney, like an artist rendition of the different lands and all this shit they're building and rides and stuff. And it was like you only got to look at it for like 10 seconds. So there wasn't even a chance that you could, and they're literally standing next to you looking at your hands. Like no phones. And like, oh yeah, it was a real deal. And they said if they see a phone, security will take that phone from you before you walk out of this room. It was legit, bro. There was like security around us. It was crazy, but whatever. It was cool.
That's awesome. So did you get to watch any wrestling in the last week, Don?
I gotta be honest. I saw The Rock stuff again. I think The Rock is the man, dude. The Rock is rewriting the game. And I hope that all these guys now listen, this is a can of worms because I hope not every indie jerk off in the world is going to start cutting a 25-minute promo thinking they're The Rock. It's bad enough you can't get these people to form coherent sentences for 2 minutes, let alone 20 minutes. But The Rock has been killing it, man. He's single-handedly carrying this whole deal. I'm actually psyched to see WrestleMania this year. And I can't tell you the last time I said that.
Yeah. What do you guys think about The Rock being able to curse on TV? You guys cool with that?
Yeah,
I'm totally fine with it.
I don't know why people are. I mean, it's The Rock, so I can understand, you know, why some people might feel some type of way that, you know, it's going around on the internet. I guess some people are pissed people off that they can't do that kind of stuff, and it's like, well, look who this guy is. It's The Rock. Yeah.
No names were named. They just say there's a general thing. Who knows if it's even true? But the point is, so many more eyes are on the product right now. It's like great to be in wrestling again. You know?
Yeah.
People are losing.
Bro, he's one of the owners. He do whatever. Yeah, true.
Right.
That's the insane part when I hear about this. He's one of the goddamn owners now. I'm cursing. Mm-hmm. He's one of the owners. He could do whatever he wants. He's The Rock.
Exactly.
Wow. Yeah, The Rock on there is beating a dead horse, Tommy says. So, you know, Kenny Thompson said that. And you know what? That's a sentiment. Some people believe that. That's why he's a heel. But let's be honest, whatever he touches is literally turning to gold.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Well, get used to it because I have a funny feeling we're going to see The Rock carry this throughout the whole year of 2024 to 2025, headlining with him and Roman next year at Mania. I do not see this wrapping up.
Yeah. Keep Rock around as long as possible. And Kenny Thompson, all the way from Alaska, shout out to you for checking out the Spocast and, you know, just staying in tune with what we're doing. I mean, Donnie, let's face it, The Rock in wrestling, it belongs. So,
bro, you know how long The Rock is going to be involved in this? Mm-hmm. As long as The Rock wants to be involved in it. Yeah. If he says, exactly, I'm going to show up Monday SmackDown for the next 19 years straight, then that's when he's going to be on. If he goes, hey, listen, I got four more appearances, then I'm disappearing for a while. The Rock has no restraints. He can do what he wants, come and go as he wants, write his own angles, do what he wants. They need him more than he needs them. I know some people are disagreeing with that. Like, oh, The Rock's had dud after dud. F you. He's still The Rock, dude.
I mean, these dud last two dud. Or 3 weeks, it's just been all sold out since he's been back.
Yeah.
You know, and people are talking. People are talking about wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Good, bad, or indifferent. Yep.
Yeah.
Wow.
So,
By the way, I forgot to ask you off air, Donnie. Do you have anything tonight as far as a 15 minutes or a light side?
Oh, I got a 15 minute.
Do you?
Whenever you're ready. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I was going to tell you before we do your 15 minutes of fame, why don't we announce a match that has to do with it? So let's see. Drum roll. I have to remember that some people are watching and some people just listen. So I got to be more descriptive. So on the screen right now is a 15 minutes of fame rumble graphic, which will happen at Endgame Part 2, which is inside. Winner gets a future title shot. So there you go, Donnie. You branded it 15 minutes of fame, and now it's going to be a rumble. So it's kind of like our version of the Money in the Bank, and we get to do a little tribute to the Don at the same time.
Oh, do I get to pick some people that are in it? Can I have some say?
Of course.
Sure. Brother.
Oh, yes. Can it be anyone?
Bro, hey, bro, can you get me in the Battle Royal?
Yeah.
Good, Gary. Yeah. How many people are you trying to squeeze in this Battle Royal?
It's going to need to. The problem is the locker room. Like, people are hitting me up trying to get on the show, and I'm like, God, I would love to use you, but like, I'm going to have to order a second locker room.
No,
like,
I told you what to do, Johnny. This is when you remain strong, Johnny. Everyone comes out of the woodwork. All the termites are burrowing through the wood, and they're trying to get on the show. They could give a shit less about you. They just want to justify another payday for themselves. They could give a shit less about Spo Wrestling.
I gotcha. You're right. Well, anyway, it's a rumble, and who knows what's going to happen in the rumble. I'm not even saying how many guys are going to be in it. It'd be neat if it was a 15-man rumble, but we'll see. It depends on who shows up that night. I know HC Loke has some students that are going to probably debut in it. So we'll see. I mean, we'll see what happens. Rumbles can be like the most unpredictable matches. Like, who knows what's going to happen? So
I didn't like them. I was in like one or two with you guys, maybe three or four battle royals. I hated the fact that at any time, like, somebody could roll up on my leg from behind or hit me from behind. I just didn't like it, dude. Like, I barely wrestled as it was. But even when we did our six mans and stuff, I just liked the idea of controlling what was in front of me. Like, I hated that shit. Any minute you could get whacked from behind with a chair or something stupid, I'd murder somebody if that happened. But
yeah, I've gotten hurt in battle royals. I got my jaw dislocated once on a battle royal because no one calls anything. They just grab you and pick you up, and you're like, okay, I guess I know what's coming.
And let's be honest, most of the time in the battle royal, it isn't the cream of the crop. It's young and up-and-comers. It's got ticket sellers, guys who are the shits, friends of the booker, all that. That's who you throw in the battle royal most of the time.
We made
and it's okay for experience. I mean, listen, everybody was in one. It's newcomers.
Yeah,
there's nothing. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it, but I'm just saying that's – You don't have Benoit and Guerrero in the goddamn battle royals. You don't. You got Fred the Elephant Boy and, you know.
Yes, the battle cool royals gimmicks. Exist because people need the WrestleMania payday. So you put a battle royal on the show.
Yes, absolutely. That's all it is. Got to be part of it, brother.
We were actually toying with the idea of calling this the gimmick battle royal in honor of the gimmick battle royals that would go on to become mainstays of WrestleMania season, you know, starting with WrestleMania X7. And, you know, we figured, you know what, if we're going to put anyone over, we have to put over Big 80s Donnie B.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. 15 minutes of fame battle royal is going to be bigger than Andre the Giant Memorial battle royal, bro. All right, let's be real.
Speaking of the winner's going to hit that Andre pose.
I was going to say, we got to show this now. Harry Silkin from Ring of Honor this past Friday doing the Andre the Giant from Survivor Series 88 pose with us.
When is this from?
Friday night.
This past Friday.
Where?
Yeah.
Up ISPW. In Hackettstown, because Carrie lives in like Bethlehem, so it wasn't that far. So he came out just to say hi to all the boys. You know, like Danny Moff was there, Crowbar was there. It was really cool.
Believe it or not, dude, I think I only met Carrie once, very fleeting, for like I barely said two words from him. I don't even really know him. Never worked for Ring of Honor, except I did the commentary shit. But nah, I was kind of leaving the business as that was kicking off. Well, Ring of Honor started the same night I had Guerrero and Nova. I had Guerrero the night before Ring of Honor's first show.
I remember. So,
but I never worked Ring of Honor. It was whatever. I don't even know that guy carried.
Whoa. You were the original commentator on their TV show.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm saying. I did the TV. Me and Carino. Me and Carino were the original commentators. I think we did 5 or 6 episodes, and then it just got to be a chore. Like, I hated driving down. I loved doing it with Steve, and Gabe was cool, and Rob and Doug. Like, we always had good times at the office. You'd grab some swag. He'd give me some shirts. I'd give them to my my friends or whatever the hell it was. But I had good times with those guys. Actually, a little known secret, I think – Jesus, 2 or 3 times, I think they either paid me like $75 or $100. I didn't even cash the checks. Like, I left like 3 of them in pants I found like a year later that I washed or whatever. I didn't even remember that I got paid. They didn't cash them. Like, I just did it for the fun, man. It was a lot of fun. It was. Me and Carino had a blast.
And it couldn't have been maybe 3 months later when you guys stopped doing that Carino and Homicide were tag champs and me and Trent beat them for the tag belts. It all had to be within the first like 6 months of the company.
It was. I did the – there's a match with Low Key and Red where the beginning of the match, he's like stomping all around. I did the commentary on that. Yeah, I remember seeing that. I was like, holy shit. I was like – I became a huge – I was always a Red fan. I like Low Key too. I always thought Low Key had a really cool, distinct style. I know some people seem to have issues with him over the years. And I never – I don't hang out with him or nothing, but – I have nothing but good things to say about Low Key. I sat next to him on the plane. Yeah, when we went to Alaska – I sat next to him either on the way there or the way back the entire time. And we bullshitted. And he was cool, man. I like Low Key.
Yeah,
awesome. I think he deserved better in the business. Yeah.
Awesome in the ring, my God.
Yeah, dude, awesome he's different. He had a very, like Van Damme and some of these other guys, or a very distinct style that I've never seen. Yeah. Like, what's the kid who was with Bobby Lashley?
Leo Rush.
That guy's amazing. Like his own style. That's never I've never seen anybody else do that.
No.
Like those are the kind of guys that stand out.
That's true. So are you ready, Donnie? We'll do it. 15 minutes of fame with Donnie B. You missed it last week. So let's give a double dose.
Here we go. There's been something that's brewing lately. Actually, not lately. It's been going on for quite a while. And I just this past week, man, I saw some more examples of it. And I just said, I've had enough. This is just insanity. And it's, listen, I get the NFL Hall of Fame, the MLB Hall of Fame, even the WWE Hall of Fame is a stretch. It's a work. Maybe. But the WWE Hall of Fame, everybody knows, is like, you know, it's a work, whatever. But it's still a cool thing. It's the top of the industry. I get it. I'll even go as far as GCW has the Indy Hall of Fame coming up. And usually they've always done pretty good with that. Like Daniels is in it, Jerry Lynn. People who have actually fucking done something in the wrestling business. But it's this whole underground swell and stratosphere and ethos out there of these other halls of fame with people tripping over themselves, congratulating themselves on 25 years in the business, 30 years in the business, 35 years, and they haven't done shit, and nobody knows who they are, nobody cares, and it's just the most ridiculous thing in the world to have an indie show in front of 15 or 20 people and have a Hall of Fame, a Hall of fucking Fame where these people are getting up there on a microphone and espousing to the crowd, quote unquote, wink, wink, the gathering, I should say, in the closet of a handful of people on how great they are and everything they did. It just devalues the business. And these people who go around saying they've been in the business. I saw one guy congratulating himself on having over 30 fucking, and I'm not, a Homicide has done something like that was legit.
Yeah, you're not talking about Homicide.
I'm talking about these other people who I have never heard of saying congratulations to so and so at over 30 something years in the business. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, should I congratulate myself for, you know, being alive for 51 years? Like, I don't get it. I don't get this whole thing where all because somebody thinks they were a fringe player in something. Like I played checkers since I was about 15 years old. Should I put out tomorrow, congratulations, 35 years in the checker business? Like, I don't, you know what I mean? These people who They haven't done. I made more money in the business, and I promoted two shows in 20 years than I would say 75% of these people. And it's the people, when you look at them and you go, this motherfucker is in a Hall of Fame or putting himself over or congratulating himself. And I get it. The root cause is that most of them don't have a lot else going on in life. I get it. And it's, you know, this is like a thing for them. And this is a big part of their lives.
Higher magnitude.
Yeah, I get it. And I'm not knocking that. But when they self-indulgent, egotistical nature of these melted sticks of butter who just haven't done shit, dude, and they couldn't work, they couldn't cut a promo, and they're up there accepting awards for a Hall of Fame. It's just insanity, dude. I could see if you want to say it's an appreciation award from whatever company. That's another thing, a million companies. Christ. But if you want an appreciation award for somebody for the hard work they did to help out, that's one thing. But to have the set of balls to go up there and say that you're a Hall of Famer is just so self-indulgently insane to me. I was a pretty big deal in the promoting world. I think I'm not putting myself over, but it's true. I had one of the biggest promotions ever in the tri-state area. I ran every 6 weeks. I had TV. I drew big crowds. I had the biggest day. We booked 1800 people with Sting, but I'm never going in a Hall of Fame. I'm never going to give a speech. None of that shit. It's stupid. Truth be told, Nova didn't even want a retirement match. I kind of had to talk him into it. And then he was like, that's cool. It was more for his friends and family and for his daughter to see him. But he didn't even say that. But it's just these egotistical goofs, man. Just shut up. Continue on with your hobby. You're not retiring from anything. You can't retire from something that you really were never in. And you're not going to be in a Hall of Fame for anything, because you certainly aren't Hall of Fame worthy. And that's my 15 minutes of fame.
Bang, bang. Interesting. Yeah. Well, good, Donnie. I understand. Said. No, and I get it, Donnie. Believe me. And just to play devil's advocate here, you know, everything you just listed about yourself was all everything you did after NWA New Jersey.
Yes.
NWA New Jersey was a big friggin' deal, and you were known as the guy running it. I mean, a lot of people lived in fear of you when I started. They were like, oh, here's Donnie. We want him to book us, so we better be nice to him. Like, people.
Yeah, I always saw through that. Yeah, I never understood that. Like, I loved being talent, but when I started booking, I noticed one of the first times when we went into Deeds locker room and up for Bad Crew, I remember guys like treat me a little different. And I was just, God, fuck. Like, I got it. I understood it. It never affected my booking. It never affected. I always try to do what was best for the show, in conjunction with Dennis and Mark. For Christ's sakes, if you had a Hall of Fame for bookers, Mark Carluzzo should be in it.
Yeah.
He knew more about booking shows and talent than half of the people who are doing it now.
Well, you know what it is, Donnie? You held the keys to greener pastures, and they knew it. And they knew it. So
I held the keys to another. Yeah. You got to understand, as the promoter, the booker, and I hate that term. I held the keys to allow them to exist for one more weekend, or to justify their inactivity during the week, or whatever doldrum life they had. If they could play wrestler on Saturday night, and believe me, I had my share of people who cursed me up and down, or try to get physical with me in the locker room when we fired them, or we couldn't use them anymore, or told them they were finishing up that shit. I had one person who smashed a bunch of computers one night at an NWA Jersey show. They were finishing up. We told them we couldn't use them. We were going in a different direction. And this individual demanded a pay envelope. I didn't have one for them, so I don't know what Dennis did, but this individual on the way out, it was in a school, and they went into the computer lab and broke a bunch of computers and keyboards and shit on their way out. And we didn't know about it until like the school told us about the next day. Yeah.
Wow. Eric BBD. Galoob. Eric Galoob. Big 80s Golub,
baby.
Best damn promoter in the business. And there's a few.
You know who that is, Johnny? You know who Eric Golub is, Johnny? Remember BBD, Black Belt Dudley, at the Phoenix shows? The dude that was like 6 foot six?
Yeah.
With the weight belt, head of security?
Yeah.
That's him. That's Eric Golub.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
cool.
A head of security.
What's up, brother?
PCW Wrestling, Eric Golub.
Nice.
One of the greats. One of my all-time best employees in PCW. He actually would be number one, I would say.
Oh, Cannon's going to have a hard
time. I know. Well, Cannon wasn't really an employee. He was more of my right hand.
Oh, that's true, yeah. That's
I would consider Cannon more of a consigliere.
Yes.
CW and a right hand than I would an employee.
Yes. That's right. Yeah. That's right. And your mouth was near the toilet. It was disgusting.
Disgusting.
We know BBD.
That's funny. This guy's name is BBD because that was Big Bernie Deal too from a few weeks ago. We called BBD, Donnie.
Oh, that's right. This is
so we got two Dudley. BBDs from two different parts of the country.
It's BBD.
Exactly. So, real quick, we got some other business to attend to here.
I want
to
hear about the upcoming show. I want to hear about Endgame 2 and 3.
So here it is. So this is Endgame 1, outdoors, free. So we have the Bob, the Batman of Burlington. I know you're thinking now, why is Johnny and Spo Wrestling using valuable space on their poster to put the guy from Burlington who's a Batman? Because the crowd loves him and Burlington loves him. He is a star. Trust me. This guy draws. So anyway, Rebecca Scott versus Christina Marie in the steel cell. These two have been at each other since early December in Spo. So it is literally the longest running feud. They're going to be in the cage. They're already amazing outside of a cage. I don't even know what to expect when these two step in the cage, to be quite honest. What do you guys think?
They've both been putting in the work as individuals, just all over the place. Whenever they wrestle each other, it's just hard hitting. I mean, they've had several matches outside of Spo. So by this time around, especially when they step into the cage, it's going to be about, I want to say, their fourth time in there. And I mean, at this point, putting them in the cage is, it's already enough. I mean, who knows what's going to happen.
And it's free. Anyone can go to town.
Was that a recent picture of Christina Marie?
Like it was taken Friday.
Bro, she's looking like pretty damn jacked.
Yeah.
Like she's been in the gym.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, she always has been.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? She looks like they both look like stars, but Christina Marie jumps off the page to me on that.
Yep. Absolutely.
She does.
That's a girl I look at and she's ready to fight somebody. That's what I see when I see that.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the big main event inside, Homicide versus Scorpio, two former PW champions, both legends in their own right. Both of these guys have, for lack of a better term, injected their style into the younger generation and into the younger generation below that, even multi-generations. I mean, these guys are literally godfathers in the business. We call Donnie the Don, but this is two Dons right here. Am I right?
Facts.
I'll go step further, man. I'll say to me, Too Cold is up there with like Jushin Thunder Liger and maybe Muda. But as far as like influential to me, especially in the United States, Sasuke, like I put Too Cold up there. And I'm older than you guys, but when we saw Too Cold doing that shit for the first time, I was in disbelief, dude. And I'm not committing to the fact that I may or might not be at this event. But if I happen to be at this event and I'm not a big picture, I used to not be a big picture guy, I can assure you I will be getting a photo with Too Cold Scorpio for my own keepsake.
Excellent. And then we also have part two, Endgame part two. We just got a brand new poster for it. There it is. And this is looking to be pretty exclusive. First of all, there's not many seats in the building. And we're going to have a hell of an event here with some big stars. So get your tickets before they're gone. Outside is free, but inside is not free. We have to pay some bills. So Sunny Kiss will be appearing inside. Myself versus Jordan, the match that Donnie B just made 2 weeks ago before the match that was so big, he needed a vacation after he made it.
I did have quite a few people. Yeah. A couple people reached out to me about that and congratulated me on my matchmaking ability.
Interesting.
Yes.
Interesting. So, so that'll be great. And that it just the way to say this is me versus Jordan somehow dredges up the backseat legacy in a strange way that is uncomfortable for me. So this
match, I get that.
Yeah, it cuts a little deep. And this match means something to me. Like I lifted my legs harder than I've ever lifted my legs in my life today. Okay. And it's for this match, Donnie. So I want you to know I am taking it seriously.
Well, listen, not to be a fool, but, when you said to me, like, hey, man, come up with something you think would be cool or a good idea for this is the biggest show you've done to date. It's Mania weekend. All eyes are on the weekend. This is the kind of stuff where clips from this weekend will circulate all over social media for years to come. I don't think there's a bigger Trent Acid fan in the world than Jordan Oliver. It's up there, man. There's a few guys here. I know we got two right here, but Jordan's right up there. So that's when I came up with it. I was like, Listen, man, let's do it. And he deserves it. He deserves it. And so do you, quite frankly.
Well, thank
you deserve the chance to show that you can hang. I think he's one of the, like I said before, he's one of the top three free agents in the world.
Yeah.
This is a match that has needed to happen, you know, for a long time since Johnny first, you know, came back to, you know, for Nova's retirement. This is a match that you could argue has, you know,
bro, traced 2021, back even before that. When I was, did the show at Lacey, when I was talking 4 years ago, Johnny Cashner told me about Jordan Oliver. And he pitched him. He was part of some group,
Young Dumb Criminals.
What was it called?
Young Dumb and Broke.
That's it. I said Crumb Bum Criminals. Sorry. I don't know where I came up with that, but you know what I mean? And I was like, I saw them. I was like, holy shit, this guy can work. If he fills out a little bit, like physically, he's going to be. And he did. God damn it. Holy shit. An indie guy that took advice from people all around him and diet and nutrition and training. And he's going all over the world now. Holy cow, can you believe it? This guy got off his ass and he got out of his little comfort circle and he went and go found work and he's finding his riches across the globe. I love that, dude. I absolutely love this tale.
It is. It's nice. And that's something I look forward to is wrestling him, obviously. And don't be surprised to see him, you know, at future SPO events too, you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of like how they say so-and-so is all elite. Like we should say like Jordan Oliver is a SPO.
he's what you would call, you know, an indie darling. He's following the footsteps of, you know, guys like Trent, you know, doing what needs to be done.
He keeps his face clean. No cutting his head and all that nonsense and bullshit. His money is here, the 12 inches around his face, the body and everything's great, but that's what you want to see on
he's
TV.
Doing good.
Yep. He needs to keep it up. Avoid any major injuries.
Damn right. And then we have Joe Clean versus Pat Dynamite in an exploding broom closet cinematic match.
I can't wait to see that.
I can't wait to see it either. I am like, it's just a big question mark in my mind that I can't wait until it's filled in. I just can't wait to watch it and see. And this is the kind of match we'll be able to release after the event on the internet.
Oh yeah, absolutely, dude. You know?
Yeah, so people can watch it. But I'm excited because Pat, I don't know how to say it other than to say that Pat broke out. And he did it at the Mitchell Firehouse, and we got to watch it. And when you watch a star ascend on his own steam, it's a beautiful thing to behold. And
I agree. Remember I told you I saw that video he made with the dynamite? And I said, what the hell is this? But I watched it. I watched every second of it.
Yeah.
And that's the point to a guy like me to look at that and say, holy shit, this is cool. I'm actually – there you go. There's a perfect example. I just said I can't wait to see that. And I have never said two words to Mr. Clean or Pat Dynamite. Never.
Nope. Well, the year is still young, my friend. So, yes. Donnie, this is going to pop you.
Ooh.
This past Thursday night, I went to Cheeseburger School in Bristol, PA. It used to be the old Ring of Honor School.
I love that
Cheeseburger
name,
runs it. Yeah, Cheeseburger runs it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Here's a thing you see right here. Monday and Tuesday. Wednesday is an advanced class with Cheeseburger. And then Thursday is usually with Coach Preacher. But this Thursday coming up, they have an event that Speedball's doing at their school. So
Mike Bailey?
Yeah. So Preacher's going to be Wednesday instead. But check this out last week, this picture. So if you look here, that's Blade, me, and GQ, three of the original CZW heads, all got back in the ring and worked our butts off. And let me tell you something. Rick Blade, Donnie, is going to be able to work a power game. Did you ever
see that? Bro, Rick Blade looks like he's going to step on stage for the Sandow Trophy. I mean, what?
With him. Donnie, I locked up with him. He is so strong now. I could barely put him
put
in a hammer
picture
lock.
Back up. Let me see that picture again.
Yeah, hell yeah. I could barely get him in a hammer lock.
Rick Blade is the biggest guy in the picture. The
biggest one in the picture. Exactly.
Yeah. Except for the guy. I can't tell how big the guy to the left of you is, Johnny. Yeah.
Yeah, he is a little bigger, but he's bent down. But you're right. You're right, though. Rick Blade. And you know what's weird? They say memory is strange where the latest update is all you can like access. And it's true. I saw the video of Blade jumping off the Ryder truck from like 25 years ago, just like 3 days ago. And I'm like, oh, that looks weird. It doesn't look like Blade to me anymore. Now I've replaced it with this new Rick Blade.
New Blade.
Yeah.
A new Blade.
Yeah.
A sharper blade. Yeah.
That's it. So anyway, so he's going to start working a more power style, which I can't wait to see. But GQ, Donnie, this dude, he was Chris Cash's partner, and Chris Cash passed away.
I was going to say, did I meet him?
I don't think you did. You might have. He was in PWA.
I knew
in
the name. Yeah.
Great guy, man. And listen to this. He hadn't been in the ring since 05. He got in the ring last Thursday night and looked awesome. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. I mean, at first he didn't. He locked up weird. I'm like, oh no. 2 minutes later, it just clicked. And the whole night.
What does that tell you?
Riding a bike.
No, it tells you that the training that the majority of these guys got when they first started was from stalwarts and people that knew what they were doing, and they instilled tactics and instilled disciplines in them with repetition and motions that these people remember, just like riding a bike. That's they learned their fundamentals so soundly that it came back to them. There you go, man. That's what it shows you, bro.
That 100%. Muscle memory.
Yep. It was a beauty to behold, man. And so we're going back this Wednesday. So anyone wants to train, man, head over there. These guys know what they're doing. Donnie, let me tell you something. Preacher was training stuff that I was like,
say Preacher? Is that Phineas James?
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure I met him once or twice. And was he pretty cool from what I remember? Nice guy?
Yeah. Like, oh, he's the man.
I told him. I sat with him afterwards and said, you can help me. Like, flat out.
Yeah.
Like, you can help me.
I'm almost positive I met him or something. A lot of these names and faces I kind of don't remember, but I definitely remember him from something. Cheeseburger, I'm just a huge mark for. Like, I love the name. I never met him. I can tell you this. Cheeseburger would have been on every PCW show.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's definitely a SPO. He's a SPO. We have to.
Yeah. Cheeseburger. Know. I could see it now. Cheeseburger versus Donnie Bon Jovi.
Oh, that would have been a feud,
bro.
That would have been over. Hell yeah.
I love cheeseburger. Yeah, like, I love the name.
So this guy, Coach Prophet, the way he trains, like, he's teaching all these things that I've never touched on. So, like, I feel like I'm a complete wrestler, right? And I have everything I need in my mind, right? But yet there's these other guys that train with Cheeseburger who are like, have all that they need, but it's different. So, like, the business has just expanded where it can have these different people with all these different, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Styles?
Yeah.
I want to start learning their style now.
Bro, that was the secret. Like, I tell people this all the time. Trent was the more flashy. He was the Jeff Hardy. But you were actually the better technical worker that could go in there with anybody and wrestler, like an Arn Anderson or Dennis Condrey. That was you. It was very underrated. It's a very unsung role, like Matt Hardy. Of course, like I said, Trent, Jeff, they're just, when you have two people, one of them is going to be that. That's just the way it fell. But you always, in my opinion, I always told everybody, Trent was the sizzle, you were the steak.
I like that.
And I was the seasoning. That was the secret. That's what made us work, bro.
Yep. And these two guys are the Ribera jacket that goes with the steak.
Yeah.
The
That's right. Yeah.
Until it got soured by Discount Dewey Donovan. Fucking
disgusting.
Sorry, I just
he's like somebody that tries to put ketchup on a steak.
He's not even worthy of ketchup. He's the liquid that forms at the ketchup when you don't use it for a few weeks.
Ew.
And you turn it upside down. And that liquid that liquid comes out first. That's before like the ketchup. That's Dewey Donovan. Yeah. He's that.
Oh god.
That's gelatinous nasty sheath that forms on top of the mustard or the ketchup.
Oh my god.
And
gosh.
You squeeze it before you shake it up. That's Discount Dewey.
Donnie, that topped the mother's basement with the water damage down the
Discount Pee Wee. Yeah.
So, you know, Donnie, before you've seen us talk about our body combo, the backseat body combo that's for sale at
Love it.
At Burlington Nutrition, right?
Yep.
Well, check this out. This was actually JP's idea, so I'm going to let you talk, JP. Look at this.
Oh, man. These troubles.
Wow.
Yeah, my guys.
So Live Danger's on the screen right now with their new Redcon 1.
These guys are ambassadors for Redcon 1. I know a whole bunch of guys, you know, guys like Boulder from Iron Savage.
A whole bunch of
the boys are just, you know, ambassadors and sponsors for Redcon, and, you know, just trying to hook my boys up. And
is that Kenny Omega's thing, Redcon? Is that him? Is that his product, the Redcon? I thought for some reason it was. Maybe I'm wrong.
No.
I don't think so.
Why don't you guys? Yo, JP and Tommy, why don't you guys get a hold of Ratchet? You guys know Ratchet designs supplements and nutrition, right? Right, he's a nutritional scientist. Yeah, that's a shoot.
Interesting.
Rick Ratchet.
That stuff you gave us was from him, wasn't it, Donnie?
Rick Ratchet is a food scientist, a nutritionist. He designs products constantly. Why don't you guys get a hold of him and see you guys compare with him or do something, a drink?
That'd be
awesome. Something, dude.
That would be awesome.
Yeah. Years ago, he had a drink lined up for Richards, but I don't know how it fell through, but Stevie didn't follow it. There was something, I don't know what, but it was an energy drink. It was going to be called Super Kick.
Yeah.
Super Kick Energy.
That's a great idea.
It never took off. But
that's a great idea.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
I'll tell him to reach out to you guys. But he's got the gym, you know, he's got the nutritional line, everything, dude. He could come out with something.
That'd be awesome.
Let's do it up.
You know, Donnie, you said you watched last week and Backseats. I know you were here last week, but you know, we talked more about Chetty and how great he looks, and we actually showed pictures and stuff. And then it occurred to me, Donnie, Chetty also came back at your show, just like I did. So there's already two of us that you've defibrillated. Like, I think your event had so much energy in it that it literally just boom, defibrillated.
It was like the tree of life. I believe personally, I didn't ask him, but I believe Chetty saw what was possible. Like, he was there, and I think for his own I don't want to put words in Chris's mouth, but for his own self-esteem and self-worth and self-value, I don't think he thought enough people knew who he was or would put him over or cared about him as far as the boys go. And when he realized, like, this is goddamn Chris Chetty, and everybody knew him, I think I saw a big smile on his face. I think he was happy to see that. He got to see Mike go out the way he wanted to, and he was part of it. And I was so glad. You know what, man? Looking back, there was a handful of other people that should have been there that said they were going to be there. And you know, you get the bullshit excuses. Oh, my kids got to get up early and whatever. I can't make whatever. Fuck you. But Chetty drove like 3 hours to be there, and bro, he was there the entire night. Brought the boots out to the ring, stayed afterwards, and that's all I needed to see.
Yeah, we shared the picture. I tried to reach out to him, Donnie. I want to get him on here. I would love. I've always
reach out to
him. Dude, our whole clique, me, Trent, Nick Burke, we have all always been Chris Chetty marks since day one.
If you guys want him on the podcast, I'll reach out to him. He can come on here with us one night. Yeah, I'll tell him.
I would love to have him on. And
Danny, too, would come on.
I was going to say, Doring's hysterical. I would love to get him. Imagine him and Tom Brandy in a room together just going back and forth. I would laugh my ass off.
I never understood that. There was always like that lame. Like, I know Nova and Frankie, or Nova and Chetty, which should have been the tag champs, and it was always like this underlying heat that Danny and Roadkill had the last titles, and it was all weird bullshit with that. And I know Nova doesn't care anymore. I don't think Danny does either, but I never had an issue with Danny. I consider Danny a friend. Always like Danny. I still like to see him out there doing his thing, but we'll have him on one night. Danny, if you're listening to this, get a hold of me. You can be on the show.
Love to have Danny. Guys, Backseats, why don't you guys talk real quick, just for a few seconds if you want, about like the Scramble Cell match coming up that you guys are in. That's going to be sick, man.
So the Scramble Cell coming up, as you know, we've announced Carnage Crew, the Backseats, the Rep, Golden Era, Silk City Kings, excuse me, and CXR. But just because all those teams have been announced doesn't mean that we can't expect a few surprises. Donnie.
Yes.
That's right. As you never know who's going to show up. You never know who's going to call for backup on any of these teams. I mean, look, this is Endgame, so anything can happen. You know, that cage at some point, I mean, who knows who's going to climb over, jump off, who knows who's going to bust through that door, enter in, and, you know, all hell is going to break loose in the Scramble Cell.
And it's free for the whole town of Burlington and all the surrounding areas. Just show up. It's free.
That is so cool, man. I just love what you guys are doing, dude. It has such a cool community vibe. You're not coming out and saying, we got TV next week, brother. We're going to, you know, take over the world. You're concentrating on your section, on your town, and you're providing entertainment to them that has universal appeal. I absolutely love it. I could not agree more with what you're doing, man. I'm a huge supporter.
Thanks, man. We're trying to get our guys over. You know, we're not sitting here thinking, how do we get ourselves over? That was last year. That was 2023's problem. 2024 is how do you get the whole locker room over? Because Donnie, you saw it in ECW, and I saw it a little bit in CZW. When one person starts doing good, they all do good when they're all connected and when it's a family. And that's what I want for SPO. I want the whole place to rise up or none of us, because that's the only way to really make a difference.
You all challenge yourselves then. Yeah. If everyone's ascending to the top, you want to pull each other up instead of pushing each other down. I never understood the mentality of closing the door behind me when I got through. Yep. I always like to open it a little more.
Exactly.
Hell with these guys that just worry about themselves. I remember we were in Sharps. There was one guy who would tell us right to our face, "Hey man, if you come to the show tonight, don't go up to the promoter and ask for bookings, because you know you're there as my guest." Like that kind of shit. Like I never understood it.
Yawn. Yeah. Leon Love says, "Shout out everyone in the chat and all the guys on the stream. Thank you." And you know, we're still negligent in checking the Instagram, but we had a lot of cool heads show up. I'm seeing like Skills the Great was here, and who else we got here? Bryce Hansen, our boy, Bryce Hansen, Ron Starr, number Reverend. One dojo. What's number one dojo? He's in there. Ichiban. Let me tell you something about Ichiban.
That's so still my favorite 2023 promo. Let me tell you something about Ichiban.
And Loud East Wrestling was in there. So guys, we have that coming up too. Let's real quick. So Loud, Donnie, check this out. So Loud East Wrestling, Marked for Death, Homicide, Diaz, and his partner in the Uptown Boys against me in the back seats. And Donnie, do you notice a few things here? Yeah. First of all, look at me.
Yeah.
That You're is from.
Is that my, like seduction look? What is that?
That is 30-year-old Johnny or 32-year-old Johnny in Vanilla Man Candy when I used to tag with Matt Walsh in tights.
Okay. Wait, is that a real name? Is that a team name? That was our tag team name,
Vanilla Man Candy. Yes.
That's great. I can't kill it.
We stood by it. But anyway, so that picture, let me get back. Hold on. Anyway, so Matt Walsh.
Wow.
I lost the picture. Hold on 1 second.
Leon Love. That's awesome, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Send me a link.
I got it. Yeah. So anyway, and I also have a random cool nip slip. There's a nip slip there. They had to put my nipple in there between their heads for some reason too. So
yeah, I guess so.
I'm not happy with it.
It's the 10 plus old picture that they're using. That's
yeah.
That's hilarious. I can't believe it. You said you're 32 in that picture.
Maybe 32, 33, maybe at the absolute most, somewhere in there.
So you're just 30. About 2 years older than my brother in his picture.
Nice. Yeah. Way to age me up. Love it.
Yep. That's right, brother. Vanilla Man Candy. So we had
Johnny for this match
and the nip slip. So we had the foot slip last week. My feet slipped out like Mr. Fuji, and then this week we have my nipple slip. So whatever.
Fuji's your winner.
Yeah. And real quick, what about, do you guys want to mention real quick about Darby Allin with his foot now? So like, let me just recap. So he jumps off the ladder through the glass. Amazing. Cuts up his back a little, but doesn't really get hurt, right? About to climb Mount Everest. And how did he hurt his foot? I don't even know.
Leaving a lot out.
I heard it happened pretty early on in the match. I didn't watch it.
He did the glass thing on the pay-per-view, right? Which was Sunday? Was that a Saturday night or a Sunday night?
Sunday.
So, and then on Wednesday, he went through the glass and cut himself, all that shit, on Sunday night on the pay-per-view. Sting's last match, okay. Instead of just going off TV or not appearing for a week or two, on Wednesday night, 3 days later, he wrestles Jay White and jumped to the outside or something. That's when he broke his foot.
Damn.
So, and early now the poor match. Kid... I don't even understand why on earth he was wrestling 3 days later after doing that glass thing, man.
Amazing.
Like, oh, God.
Amazing.
Damn it,
but you know what? You know where my mind goes? God forbid something could have happened to him on the mountain. Worse. So maybe this was universe's way of saying, just stick to what you're doing right now. No reason to risk yourself even more.
Mm-hmm. Well, now he's trying it next year. I had a buddy of mine who trained for a while to do that. I might be wrong, but I could have sworn there were certain times of the year where the novices or something were supposed to go up. And this might have been his window, like the end of March, beginning or whatever it is. I might be wrong, but I can almost swear that was a thing. Like, if you're a beginner, this is when you should go this time of year. But I hope he does it, man. I think it's cool that he wants to do it, but I also think it's crazy that he was on TV wrestling 3 days after doing that glass shit, dude. Like, oh my God.
Yeah. Unreal, man. Unreal. And it's so cold up at the top of that. They say it's like at the North Pole up there. You know, on top of the Mount Everest.
Oh yeah, bro, you freeze to death.
Ooh, and he don't have no body fat. JP, you get cold because you have no body fat. Imagine,
dude, I get cold even at just like 60s.
I have no desire.
That's warm. That's warm for
to climb a goddamn mountain. No.
I'm freezing all the time.
Leon Love says he literally bought a pair of silver waterproof cargo pants last year because they had the Backseat Boys vibe. Hell yeah. Good stuff, man.
Trendsetters.
Yeah. All right. So anyway, guys, so great. Thanks for being here and joining us. We named a few things, added a match. Donnie B's back. We had a great 15 minutes of of fame. We're going to try to get Chetty on here, try to get Doring on here.
Chetty or Danny. See, I'll see if one of them's around for next week.
Yep, that'd be awesome. So next week, I have a feeling we have a lot to add because we are now right in like 3 weeks from the event. And you know, once you hit around 2 weeks, everything just picks up. So
push, get those tickets. It's just going to be a fun day, man. Just going to be a lot of fun. I think looking at all the events that weekend, I did see a little rundown of some of the stuff in the tri-state area. This is the only one I would pay. No knock on anybody else, but this is the one I would actually plunk down my hard-earned money to come see. I think the lineup is intriguing. A lot of these other clowns are just putting on whatever they can just as a cash grab, and I get it. But this is the one I would actually leave my house and go see. Perhaps I will.
Yeah, we're not running an event just to run an event. That's right, Tommy. No one else is. And we're not doing an event just to do an event. This is, you know, it just happens to be that week, honestly, that it worked out. I mean, we wanted to run WrestleMania week. It'd be stupid not to. But we're in Burlington. Right. We're far enough away that even if no one comes from Philly, we should be fine. That's how I look at it. But, man, it'd be nice.
No, because you have the people. Yeah, worry about the people in Burlington and the 20-mile radius around or whatever.
Right.
Like, don't give a shit. When we ran the show in Lacey in 2022, we had like 900,000 people. All I kept hearing for the entire 2 weeks before it was, oh, my God, GCW is running in Atlantic City. I must have heard it 1,000 times. I didn't get a single refund. Maybe there were, but I didn't hear a single refund, a ticket want, nothing. We had zero impact on our event in Lacey Township. So you guys just keep plugging along, doing what you're doing. Book it, and they will come, my friend.
I love it. Good deal. All right. So as always, next week, 7:30 right here. Same backseat time, same backseat channel. And check us out this week for some good content. We have a couple things we're going to be mentioning and announcing. So make sure you check us out on social media.
Also, right, before you head out, catch us this Friday at Super Crazy in Gloucester City, New Jersey.
Yep.
Our first tag title defense. Super Crazy Tag Team Champions right here, Tommy and JP.
That's right.
And then the following day, we'll be at the American Dream Mall for ACW. It's going to be awesome.
American Coliseum Wrestling, 3 p.m. The Rock Out Brawl Out featuring Wrecking Ball Ligursky, the Backseat Boys, and Lance Anoa'i.
Yeah, that's going to be a big one. And that used to be the Meadowlands, so it's a great location. Yeah.
I'm a big Wrecking Ball guy. I think Wrecking Ball is like this generation's Bundy or Stud, whatever, like a menacing big man on the end. He stays relatively healthy and injury free, and he keeps plugging along. So I think somebody will take a flyer on him, man. They should. Yeah. There's not too many 400-pound guys walking around that are good promote. He can promote too, man. Everything he's on, that kid.
Yes.
He promotes the shit out of dude. He does promos. You don't have to ask him 100 goddamn times.
No.
He shares all his stuff on social media. Like, I'm a big Wrecking Ball fan. Like,
he's on point.
Him and Anthony Green, when I had him one on the shows, they couldn't stop producing content. And that TJ Marconi too. The guys like that, they just push shit, and that's what I like, man. But I love big Wrecking Ball guy.
Yeah, Wrecking Ball gets himself booked in some high profile matches too. I see.
Because he works his ass off.
Yeah.
He contacts promoters. Even the true story. I'll pull the curtain back for a second. When we did the show in December. Tracks, Big Jerry Predators, Tracks actually contacted me, and I had never seen this before, dude. Tracks contacted me and said, you got the big show coming up. This is happening. Is there any way you could possibly book my friend, Wrecking Ball? He actually petitioned to get someone else booked on the show other than himself.
Wow.
And he wasn't booked. Jerry wasn't on the show at that time. He wasn't booked. He was strictly calling, asking me and Nova if we could book Wrecking Ball on the show. Swear to God, dude. And then I said, I can't book Wrecking Ball without you. And he was like, huh? And then we booked them both. Yep. But he called up unbeknownst to Wrecking Ball and asked if we can book him because he knew it was like a high profile event, dude. How stand up is that? How many times do you see that happen?
Yep. Trax is a good brother.
I love Trax, man. Love Trax. Good guy. Mm-hmm. Hell of us. He knows a lot about rehab and the physical therapy and all that shit too. And his wife, they just opened up a clinic for like Botox mm-hmm. and all kinds of stuff. He started doing all that PRP replenishments, blood cell treatments and all that. Yeah. So reach out to him. He's a good brother. Yeah, it's PA too. Mm-hmm. Yep.
We got a list of man. Yeah. Reach out to him. Reach out to Ratchet, and we're going to reach out to.
Got to reach out to Ratchet. He'll call you back. Just call him like twice. I'll get on him to call you back.
Oh yeah, awesome. I love Ratchet. My God, some of the most fun I've ever had in a ring was against Ratchet, and that's not downplay. That's the truth. So anyway, all right, you guys have a great week. Thanks again.
And all right, guys, thank you guys. Be good.
Backseat.
Have a good one.
Peace.